Want you to pray for me, certainly. Pray that the Lord would come and manifest His power to us today. That He would attend the services in a mighty way. I want you all to think back in your mind of personal and family loss. I want you to think about someone that has been very close to you that has died. I remember when my father passed away, there were so many people that came to the house, that called, that were at the funeral, and even afterward, and we truly mourned. And as a young child, I was 13, as a young child, I knew that it was a lot of people loved me, but you know what? They couldn't really help me. They consoled me. They put their arm around me and they cried for me and with me. But they could not make that pain go away. And I know how it was when father-in-law passed away and people brought chicken and they only did what they could do. I remember we were there, and I don't want to make light of this, but there were so many people that didn't know what to do, and what you do when you don't know what to do is you bring chicken. And we had so much chicken that we had to hide it in the oven when people brought it by, because I bet we had 10 boxes of chicken in the house. Because really, when people pass away, we really don't know what to do, do we?
That's right. Right.
We really don't know what to say. Sometimes, and I'll give you this, just by reason of maybe some help or some instruction, sometimes it's best not to say a word, but to just put your arm around them and love on them a little bit. Turn to John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now I want you to know this is that Mary that washed his feet with her tears and dried them with the hair of her head. Could be Mary Magdalene. There were so many Marys, it's difficult to tell. And it was her brother, Lazarus, that was sick. Therefore, his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Just as a very important side note, I want us to remember that there are some things and some sicknesses that are to the glory of God. There are some deaths, even, that are to the glory of God. This one particular. But in this life, we just want to be healed of our sicknesses, don't we? We just want our problems to go away. And sometimes they don't. Actually, most of the times, our problems don't just go away. And yet Jesus tells them the reason that the Son of God might be glorified by Lazarus' sickness. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. But Jesus, why didn't you come on and heal Lazarus? Why didn't you make his sickness go away? He didn't stay there because he didn't love Lazarus. He said plainly that he loved him. And yet, he stayed where he was. You know, if we did that, people would say, well, that self-serving, uncaring person. Like if someone was sick, you want them to come sit with you, and especially sick unto death. You know, people that are on their deathbed, what do? They call in the family and the close friends so that they can have some support around them, don't they? Jesus stayed where he was. Seems strange to me. Seems strange to Mary and Martha. Seems strange to his disciples. You love Lazarus, Jesus. Why don't you go and be with him in his time of trouble? Then after that, he saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, and this is a strange answer to me. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Remember what the context of all this is? From John 6 on, and we're still in it. Jesus is the light of the world. He stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Why did he answer that way? Lord, why are you going in there? They sought to stone thee of late. Why are you going to go back to that place? Jesus said, basically, I got work to do. I'm the light of the world. I've got to walk and shine the light that others may see. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. You know, when you get a good rest, you do well if you're sleeping. And they were thinking Jesus was talking about him taking rest in sleep. And Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. My friend, I love him. He's dead. And Jesus says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? Why did Jesus not go when he was yet sick? To the intent that ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. So there are two reasons why the Lord stayed back and didn't go when he was sick. Number one was that the Son of God be glorified and that they may believe. Believe what? Believe that he is the Son of God. Oh, they believed he was a good man. You see, Jesus continues to reveal himself as the Son of God by many proofs in healing the sick. Now, he's going to give them a stronger proof of raising the dead. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They're thinking, he's walking into a death trap. He's going there where they wanted to stone him. And Thomas, you know, this is doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas, he didn't always doubt. He was strong in following the Lord. And he see, but they didn't understand. They haven't got the full revelation of who he is. And he says, it's going to be over in a minute. Let us just go die with him. And he was willing to die with that good man. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been laying in the grave 4 days already. Why'd you wait so long, Jesus? Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's pretty close to 2 miles. Something like that. No, it's not. It's pretty close. About 1,000 yards. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. See? They wanted to comfort her. Friends of the family. Maybe family. They're gathering. I don't know if they brought chicken, but I imagine they brought some stuff for them to eat. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. I don't know why she didn't get up and go. But Martha got up and went to meet the Lord. She didn't want to wait for him to come. She wanted to see him sooner, so she met him. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And she's right. She's right. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. See, Martha knew something about the Lord, didn't she? She knew that he was, I don't think she knew all about it, but she knew a lot about the Lord. She says, I know God's going to give it to you, whatever you ask. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She was looking forward to Lazarus being resurrected on the last day when the trump shall sound, see? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. There would be no resurrection without me. If I am the resurrection and the life. You know, if you've got life, it's in Christ. I mean spiritual life, eternal life. It's in Christ. I am the resurrection. And if you've got that spiritual life in you, and you and the Lord has blessed you to have that, then you will be. Well, even if you don't, you're going to be resurrected. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that, Martha? Do you believe if you believe in me that you shall never die? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master's come. She whispered it to her, seemed like. The Master's here. And He's calling for you. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto Him. You know, we can learn a lot from these little small verses in the Scriptures, can't we? Somebody tells you the Master's calling for you. Get up and go. Get up and go. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. They wanted to go with her. They wanted to help her mourn. They didn't know what to do, so they were going to go with her and be there as a support system for her, to help her in her mourning and to mourn with her. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Both of them said the same thing, and both of them were right. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled. A lot of pain associated with people losing their loved ones, isn't it? A lot of emotions at the loss of the memory. Jesus didn't groan in the spirit. That groan means that He was stirred up, troubled. He was troubled. Why do you think the Lord was troubled? You think He was troubled because Lazarus had died? I don't. Why would He be troubled about that? He is the resurrection. Would He be troubled because she was weeping? Possible. Would he weep because they didn't recognize him as the Son of God? Most likely. Why did Jesus weep on the Mount of Olives? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who killest the prophets, dig down the altars. How often would I have gathered thee under my wing like a hen gathereth her chicks, and ye would not. They're crying, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Jesus wept. Where have you laid him? Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Everybody's mad at Christ. Not maybe not mad at him, but they're disappointed in Christ because he didn't save Lazarus from his sickness. That he stayed where he was. If he would have been there, everything would have been all right. Couldn't he have saved him? Why didn't he save him? You really want to know the truth of the matter? That's why the Lord groaned and was troubled. I believe that's why he wept. It's because they are only looking at their particular circumstance, not to him, not to his higher calling, his higher purpose, the will of God. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Can you get this scene? Mary, Martha, Jesus, the mourners, the Jews, they're all with him, and they're all wailing, they're all lamenting the death and saying, why didn't Jesus come? Why didn't Jesus, if he would have been here, everything would have been all right and he could have saved him. Because they recognized him as a good man, as a powerful man, but not yet, I don't think, as a Son of God. Some of them did. Jesus says, take away the stone. They're all outside at this graveside. Take ye away the stone. Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He waited too long. If we open it now, the only thing that comes out is going to be stink. And if you really want to get down to it, and a man tries to open the grave, all that's going to be let out is the stink. For he had been dead for 4 days. He was dead before he started walking to them. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I can just see him looking up into the heavens and talking one-on-one with his Father, just like you hear my voice today. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He's almost saying, Lord, I'm saying this. I know you know it, and I know it, and I'm not questioning you, but I'm saying it for the people's sake so that they will hear me and understand that I come from you. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He didn't need to speak with a loud voice, did he? Why did he do that? So everybody could hear that he commanded the dead to rise. I submit to you today that if he had just said, "Come forth," every one of them that were in that grave would have come forth. But he called Lazarus by name, as he does every one of his children when he calls them from a state of death and sins to a life in Christ. "Lazarus, come forth." I want you to get this picture. Stone's rolled away. Stink's coming out. Nothing but putridness, and all the people are wondering, what in the world is this man doing here at this place at this time, wanting us to move the stone away? Out of death, Jesus makes life from the dead. "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Did you get that? Lazarus was bound hand and foot. That means he was wrapped. When you're bound, you're not free. It's like a mummy. You know how they used to mummify those people? They wrapped them all together up in a cocoon. Lazarus levitated out of that grave. That's what I'm telling you. He didn't walk of his own accord. He levitated out of that grave. That's the manner with which they buried people. And then, what did he tell his disciples to do? Loose him and let him go. Friends, I want you to know that is the purpose, and in this one event, you can find the whole purpose of God and of the gospel. The whole purpose of Christ is to make people alive. The whole purpose of the gospel and the ministers of the gospel is to loose them and let them go. If I try to loose somebody and let them go before they're made alive, they'll just lay there on the table. If I try to unbind somebody's grave clothes while they're yet dead, all that I'm going to do is just let out the decomposition. That's all I'm going to do. That's all the gospel will do when it's preached to someone who's dead. I can holler as loud as I wanted to. I could never make a dead man get up out of the casket. I could preach the gospel to people that were dead in trespasses and in sins and have not been made alive by Christ, and it will do them no good, no benefit for them, until Christ makes them alive. The gospel just looses them and lets them go. Just like he told Timothy, that the gospel brings life and immortality to light. Doesn't bring life and immortality, just brings it to light. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Was his purpose accomplished? Yes, it was. The resurrection of Lazarus caused many people to believe. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Remember I told you? You've always got that group that's going to instigate trouble. Always. Even something as strong a proof as this. They were weeping. Mary, Martha, the Jews, her friends, all the mourners were weeping. Brother Jerry read that Mary wept. She had seen the stone rolled away and she had looked in there and she had not gone in, but she had looked in there and she saw it empty and she thought that somebody had taken him. Stone was rolled away. What was Jesus' question? Why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Why are you sad? Oh, this was our master, and we expected that he was going to come and save us from all of our problems. Can you see how that they didn't fully understand all of his purpose and all of his work? They knew that he was a good man, but they expected, especially a lot of the Jews, and the disciples said, Lord, will thou this at this moment in Acts, he says, will thou at this moment restore unto us the kingdom? Talking about right here and right now. Not looking far down the road, not looking at the higher purpose, the bigger purpose. And if you had spent 3 years walking with the Son of God and seeing His miracles, and then He dies, and He's not in the tomb, what would you think? Would you think that the whole thing was a big hoax? Maybe. Probably. Mary, why are you crying? Why are you crying, Mary? Sitting over by the sepulcher, one of the saddest scriptures in the whole book. She's sitting over by the sepulcher, over by the grave, just a weeping. Just a crying. She sees a gardener. He says, why are you weeping? He says, oh, where have you laid him? Where have you taken him? I come to anoint his body. And the Lord said, Mary, called her by name. You know, the Lord does that, don't he? And what happened after the Lord called her by name? Her eyes were opened. Did you know that the Lord, if He don't call your name, your eyes ain't going to be open? Her eyes were open and she saw Him. And then she fell at His feet. And I'm telling you, that's the right posture for us after our eyes are open, that we fall on our knees at His feet. You know what? She quit crying. Why'd she quit crying? Because He's not here. He's risen. Another instance. I'm going to go over this and Luke chapter 24. Verse 9. Well, in verse 5. Let's just start at the beginning. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing their spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returning from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You know, these are the 11 disciples that had seen him calm the stormy seas. These were the 11 disciples that had seen him heal a man that was born blind. These are the 11 disciples that had seen him curse a fig tree and it be withered up as he yet spake. These are the 11 disciples that had seen him take the palsy and say, Thy son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk. And they believed not. They thought that what the women had said were just idle tales. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, because Peter wants to see for himself. And stooping down, and behold the linen clothes laying by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs, about 7.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, can you imagine what they were talking about? They were talking about the Lord. They were reasoning what all these things were that were coming to pass. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. You know, I think that the Lord's walked with me and I didn't know it a lot of times. Thank God for that. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Why are you sad? Why are you sad? Why are you crying? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Where have you been? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, here you go, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I don't know about y'all. There could have been one conversation on earth in the history of the world that I would love to have been at. It would have been that one. 7.5 mile walk. Jesus walked with them and expounded all the scriptures concerning himself. On the way here this morning, I was trying to figure out how far a furlong was compared to a mile. That 60 furlongs is 7.5 miles. Sonia said, you know how when you're sick, she said, that's a pretty far way to walk for a dead man that's just been dead. Thinking about how hard it is when you're sick and how weak you get just being in bed 3 days. And she said he was in the grave 3 days. Got up and walked 7.5 miles. And as he walked, he talked. He talked about himself. That was his purpose. But the question he asked them, why are you sad? I got a question for you this morning. Why are you sad? Are you sad? Because really, we have a risen Savior, and there's no reason for us to be sad, really, is there? Yes, we have loss. Yes, we have mourning at times, but you know what? God is on His throne. I don't care how bad this world gets. I don't care how bad our situation in life gets. God is on His throne, and He won't come off of it until He returns. Amen. And when He returns, I don't know what that shout's going to be like, but that shout's going to wake all the dead. All those that are in the grave, just and the unjust, they're going to be woken out of sleep. And they'll come forth, some to the resurrection of the just, some to the resurrection of the unjust. It's going to separate his sheep from the goats. And you know what? He's going to take all of his people home to be with him. But you know what he gave us right now? He gave us the earnest of his spirit right now that helps us to understand where we're from and where we're going. How wonderful is that? He gave us something that is consistent with himself. Yea, it is his spirit. And did you know if the Spirit of God dwell in you, the same power that raised up Jesus is going to raise you up too? The Bible tells us that. It's going to raise you up too. I can't raise anybody from the dead, either spiritually or naturally. But Jesus Christ proved that he could do it several times. One other time, all he did was touch the casket. The Bible calls it a bier, B-I-E-R. He just touched the casket and the boy started getting up and his mama was happy. She couldn't believe it, neither could the people. He went up to an upper room and said, she's just sleeping. They all laughed him to scorn because they knew she was dead. And when he came down, he said, we're going to come back down. when he came back down with her, he just told her, Tabitha, rise. She rose up. He didn't have to holler, didn't have to scream, didn't have to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. All he had was mouth-to-heart resuscitation. He spoke it, and it was done. And she rose up. What an amazing thing. The closest thing that I've ever seen to this was when I was in Africa one time. I've told y'all the story about going to that children's hospital and having and praying for Brother Anthony's daughter that was sick with pneumonia. And this other lady that didn't know us from anybody knew that we were praying people, and she come and said, please pray for my daughter. She's been asleep for over a day, unresponsive, just breathing, limp, by all accounts lifeless, except for her breathing. Couldn't open her eyes. And she wanted us to pray. She'd been asleep for over a day. So we knelt down there and put our hands on her. And Brother Eddie Fowler prayed, as we all did silently while he prayed out loud. By the time the prayer was over, the little girl was wiggling around and opened her eyes. By the time we left the hospital, she was up playing ball with another kid. That was amazing. But she was alive. I can't imagine going up to a casket of somebody that had already been embalmed, somebody that's already been dead, and just saying, get on up. If they just get up. That's the Lord. That's the power of God. I don't possess it, nor does any man on this earth possess that power to wield it at will. God has the authority over His creation. And one day, when He shouts, we'll all be raised incorruptible, undefiled, and we're going to be finally home. While we're on our pilgrimage, though, let's attribute to Him all of the glory that is His due. And believe that He has that power. And grieve not the Spirit, nor do despite to His grace, as those mourners did, as the Jews did, as the sad people did. Doors of church are open for reception of members, should the Lord have called you to do that today. You may come during the song service and make your wishes known. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.